All of the forms of inequality. Inequality in healthcare is probably the most inhumane.
Tests, office visits, pills, hospitalizations. What do they all actually cost?
$330 billion with a B.
Marks the beginning of open enrollment in the health insurance marketplaces.
This is confusing.
You're listening to Health O'Clock. Show 25, recorded July 2nd, 2019. We are your source for health trends, news, and insights, and it's time to talk about healthcare.
Darn tootin', it's time to talk about healthcare.
For those of you just tuning in with us, there are 24 episodes before this if you want to learn some more about healthcare. But you can jump in right now. I am Andrea. I'm a health actuary. I used to work for a major insurance company, and now I work for a consulting firm. But my job is basically to do all the numbers associated with healthcare, including pricing, including making sure companies have enough money, all that sort of thing. But if you're tuning in, I also want you to know that I do not represent the views of the SOA, the American Academy, my company, my former company. Also, if you need actuarial advice to go out and start a business, you should go hire an actuary. Don't use anything I say on this podcast and then start a business and then come back and sue me. So,
I am Jay. I am a normal guy. The logic is, if I can get what's coming out of this girl's mouth, then odds are you can. So, I also don't represent most bad stuff. I don't know. I like Doritos. I like mowing the lawn. Well, I like the feeling right after I'm done mowing the lawn. Mm-hmm. And really, I like goofing around in Game of Thrones, right? I'm just getting into that.
He's on episode 3 of season 1.
About to start episode 3.
Yeah.
So
no spoilers.
Yeah. No, don't type out spoilers in this healthcare podcast. But you may be sitting back and thinking to yourself, why are they live streaming? And I'm going to tell you exactly why we're live streaming, because there is a Democratic debate, which I don't know how into politics you are, but there's a president in office. It's kind of controversial.
Oh,
to be fair.
Okay.
Then there's a whole slew of people that want to be president when his term is over.
Okay.
So
when's the election?
Not till 2020.
What?
Yeah. November 2020.
What?
Yeah. We got some time. But this is a great time to get to know the people who want to be appointed for the party.
Oh. Checks out. Okay. So there were two nights of these debates, and we're going to go through the healthcare statements that were made during night one of the debate.
That's right.
And for people listening to this after the fact, we are also live streaming on Facebook. So if you have liked Health O'Clock on Facebook, if you like our page, you can go out there and see the video of when we live stream this.
Yes, totally.
Or not.
Please share it. It's all good information. I thought, how cool would it be if we dissected their statements on healthcare as a podcast, because she is a healthcare whiz and I am a normal guy that's like, yo, that sounds good. So okay, should we dive into it? Do we need a precursor? I do want to say, and this was my bad, we tried this stream yesterday.
Yeah.
And I forgot to include the audio in the other scene. So that's my bad. And then I thought, you know what? There's no money exchanging hands here. We're doing this for free. Let's try it again, you know? And who knows? We might bring more insight to the topic.
We're hoping it will be twice as good second
at least
time around.
So
let's dive right in.
Yeah, diving in. Okay, so according to my notes, and I could be wrong, Klobuchar, how do you say her first name?
Amy Klobuchar. She's a congressperson from Minnesota, I believe.
Minnesota. Okay, here is what she had to say.
All right, we're going to turn to the issue of health care right now. I'd really try to understand where there may or may not be daylight between you. Many people watching at home have health insurance coverage through their employer. Who here would abolish their private health insurance in favor of a government-run plan? Just a show of hands to start off with. All right, well, Senator Klobuchar, let me put the question to you. You're one of the Democrats who wants to keep private insurance in addition to a government health care plan. Why is an incremental approach, in your view, better than a sweeping overhaul?
Well, I think it's a bold approach. It's something that Barack Obama wanted to do when we were working on the Affordable Care Act, and that is a public option. I am just simply concerned about kicking half of America off of their health insurance in 4 years, which is exactly what this bill says. So let me go on beyond that. There is a much bigger issue in addition to that, and that is pharmaceuticals. The president literally went on TV on Fox and said that people's heads would spin when they see how much he would bring down pharmaceutical prices. Instead, 2,500 drugs have gone up in double digits since he came into office. Instead, he gave $100 billion in giveaways to the pharma companies. For the rest of us, for the rest of America, that's what we call at home, all foam and no beer. We got nothing out of it. And so my proposal is to do something about pharma, to take them on, to allow negotiation under Medicare, to bring in less expensive drugs from other countries. And pharma thinks they own Washington. Well, they don't own me.
Your time is a thing.
All foam and no beer.
I like her. I like the analogy, all foam, no beer. So here's my takeaway from all the words she just said. It seems like she was given a pointed question mm-hmm. by the moderator.
Yeah.
And said, I'd rather talk about pharmaceuticals, as she believes this is the much bigger issue. And that, of course, I don't disagree with. But at the same time, that's I don't know if it's the number one issue in my docket on how to fix healthcare, because I don't know. To me, it just seems like this seemed like a very political move, like all foam, no beer. Everybody likes that, you know, the good analogy. Yeah. And then I'm just a simple person. And this was a blatant lie that I can fix. And here's what I'm really going to do. And it's like a universal good. And it just seems a little bit too politician-y and a little too maybe not well thought out, like just all of a sudden taking away money from pharmaceutical companies could cause danger. I don't know. I'm going to have to ask you.
Coming over. The big, like, really attractive, awesome, popular thing right now is Medicare for All. But on this first night of the debate, only two people raised their hand saying they want to go all the way towards that. And the other eight people on the stage said, no, we want something. We want to keep building on the Affordable Care Act, or we want something in between. And what she brought up was the public option, which yes. is basically, hey, we'll keep all the stuff that's in place, the exchanges, everything else from the Affordable Care Act, but we'll start selling an option that's like Medicare for All that you can buy on the exchange. It's administered by the government. It's going to be way cheaper than the private Others. Insurance plans out there, but we're going to let people opt into this instead of forcing everybody to move over to it.
That's interesting.
So that's the idea of the public option, and it's actually already being done in the state of Washington for 2020. So we'll get to sit back and watch and see how that goes.
That's a cool idea. Like, It's a weird phrase, Medicare for All, and you have to opt into it, so it's, you're not
yeah.
all
yeah. Well, it's called a public option.
Yeah,
is the choice where you can pick it, or you can pick to go with the private insurance companies if you're still happy with those.
I like it.
The other thing she brought up is the pharmaceuticals are super expensive. They're getting more expensive every year. What do we do about them? Every other country in the world has, every other developed country has some kind of price controls in place, which is why drugs are cheaper in every other country but ours. So some people are throwing out, well, maybe we can import drugs from other countries.
Ooh, I like that.
But that doesn't really fix the problem.
Maybe it would.
Instead, if you really wanted to fix the problem, you'd put yourself on a level playing field with all the other countries and do what they're doing, which is to try and control those prices. So she brings that up a little bit, that she wants to control those pharmaceutical prices a little more.
I like it.
And I don't know if you remember, we talked about Martin Scorsese, probably five shows back now.
That weeb.
Who raised the cost of some drug like insane amounts.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't illegal in this country. It was perfectly legal. It looked bad, but he made a crap ton of money off of it. Perfectly legal.
Well, he did.
People got mad at him.
He ended up in jail.
Yeah, I think they caught him on some other things.
Yeah.
But that's definitely something that needs to be fixed in the system, and it's good she brought it up.
All right, let's move on. I believe this is Elizabeth Warren.
Senator Warren, you signed on to Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All plan. It would put essentially everybody on Medicare and then eliminate private plans that offer similar coverage. Is that the plan or path that you would pursue as president?
So, yes, I'm with Bernie on Medicare for All. And let me tell you why. I spent a big chunk of my life studying why families go broke. And one of the number one reasons is the cost of health care, medical bills. And that's not just for people who don't have insurance. It's for people who have insurance. Look at the business model of an insurance company. It's to bring in as many dollars as they can in premiums and to pay out as few dollars as possible for your health care. That leaves families with rising premiums, rising co-pays, and fighting with insurance companies to try to get the health care that their doctors say that they and their children need. Medicare for All solves that problem. And I understand there are a lot of politicians who say, oh, it's just not possible, we just can't do it, it's have a lot of political reasons for this. What they're really telling you is they just won't fight for it. Well, healthcare is a basic human right, and I will fight for basic human rights.
And we're back.
All right, Jay, what do you think about that one? That was Elizabeth Warren, senator from Massachusetts.
I think she is great. She made things so simple that I understood every word she said and agreed with. I feel that when she brought up Medicare for All, and she struck a chord with the bankruptcies.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I don't want to be insider info here or inside baseball or whatever the term is, but I was having an off-air discussion with Andrea, and we were talking about what it was like or the actual cost of Medicare, like the cost of health, and whether you're paying for it single user versus this jockeying system.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it should in theory just be exactly even, but maybe if it does save us money, maybe that's the way to do it and keep the coverage and the quality the same.
So based on what she says, you're in favor of Medicare for All?
I think so. Yeah, I personally, I feel there's way too many stories and way too many Americans that don't have access to Medicare and medical services. I've seen many people post online, just my friends, like, oh, I just, you know, sold this piece of art that I've been working on, and I bought medical, you know, I went to medical spending. I'm an adult now or something like that. And it's just like, should he have, if an artist finally sells a painting or something and has to spend his long waited profits on medical bills, that's kind of sad.
It is a problem. And I did look up over 66% of personal bankruptcy. So of everyone in the United States who declares bankruptcy, two out of three of those people, it's because of medical bills. Even in this age where the Affordable Care Act has gotten more people covered, it's still a problem.
That's shocking.
2 out of 3 bankruptcies in this country are due to medical
bills.
See,
that fact needs to be broadcast worldwide. Yeah. Well, at least nationwide.
Yeah, that's pretty messed up.
What did you think of Elizabeth Warren? Just boom. Right there.
What
do you think?
What you say, I mean, she's very passionate. She makes it very clear. She makes a compelling argument that what's happening right now in the system isn't working. I'm not sure that it fixes all the problems that she brings up is my only issue. There's a difference between getting everybody covered versus actually lowering the cost and providing quality health care.
Interesting.
So right now, they're all still talking about getting everybody covered.
Yeah.
And they're not focusing on issues of, well, yeah, it's still insanely expensive, especially compared to everyone else. And yeah, even if you're covered, are you going to get a good doctor who's going to help you out? Or are you going to get some
quack person,
yeah, or just some person who doesn't care whether you live or die,
Dr. Nick,
and is not really working towards your better health, and you end up Googling your own symptoms anyway?
Yeah, so maybe Medicare for all is not good for doctors. Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, and we might talk about that later.
Yeah,
but
later.
I think it's more that Medicare for all is focusing on getting everybody covered, but
not,
doesn't look at those other, the drug costs, other issues that will be brought up that are still going to be a problem under that system.
Interesting. All right, let's switchy and go to, hold on. I believe next on the list is a guy named Beto. What's his name?
Beto O'Rourke.
Beto O'Rourke. All right, let's see what Beto has to say.
O'Rourke, when you ran for Senate, you also praised a bill that would replace private insurance. This year, you're saying you're no longer sure. Can you explain why?
My goal is to ensure that every American is well enough to live to their full potential because they have health care. In Laredo, Texas, I met a young man, 27 years old, told me that he'd been to a doctor once in his life. And on that visit, he was told he had diabetes, he was told he had glaucoma, and he was told, untreated because he doesn't have health care, he'll be dead before the age of 40. So getting to guaranteed, high-quality, universal health care as quickly and surely as possible has to be our goal. The ability to afford your prescriptions and go to a primary care provider, the ability to see a mental health care provider. In Texas, the single largest provider of mental health care services is the county jail system today. And health care also has to mean that every woman can make her own decisions about her own body and has access to the care that makes that possible. Our plan says that if you're uninsured, we enroll you in Medicare. If you're insufficiently insured, you can't afford your premiums, we enroll you in Medicare. But if you're a member of a union that negotiated for a health care plan that you like because it works for
your
you and your family, you're able to keep it. We preserve choice by making sure that everybody has
health care. Time
healthcare.
Is up, Congressman, but I do want to ask a follow-up on this one. Just to be very clear, I'll give you 10 seconds. Would you replace private insurance?
No, I think that choice is fundamental to our ability to get everybody cared for.
Private insurance is not working for tens of millions of Americans. When you talk about the co-pays, the deductibles, the premiums, the out-of-pocket expenses, it's not working.
That's right.
How can you defend a system that's not working?
Not working, they can choose Medicare. For the culinary workers in Nevada,
you've got to start by acknowledging the system is not working for people.
They're able to keep them.
All right. Beto O'Rourke,
so,
former representative from the state of Texas. What did you think about that?
Okay. So this is, to me, felt like more of a debate. People yelling over each other, just trying to squeak out every last rehearsed line. But what he said was completely shocking. You know, the state of Texas incarceration system has the number one mental health out of what, the state, the country?
State of Texas. I don't know what the statistics look like in the rest of the country, but I think it's 6 to 7% of the Texas prison population at any given time has major, major mental health issues that are treated, or they try to treat in prison, but it's very, ineffective and very costly to do in that setting.
That's nuts. So in my opinion, he brings up, he comes off very well educated,
mm-hmm.
and he has a plan and he wants to move forward towards it.
Yeah.
Now, maybe this is a good idea. It sounds like he wants Medicare for all, but also wants private.
He's kind of in the same boat as Amy Klobuchar, which is if you like what you're on, if you like private insurance, stay on it. And we'll offer you the choice to move over to this public option. We'll put it out there. We'll see who opts to get it, because they're of the opinion that healthcare is working for a certain percentage of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's just focus on the people who are really not jiving well with our current system and see if we can't get them coverage that works for them.
Interesting.
So that's their theory with the whole public option thing.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I think there's, in my opinion, as my ever-changing opinion as this show's recording, I think that this might be the easiest transition, in my opinion. It would be, this is the next logical step where we have a option to go public,
mm-hmm.
but an option to keep private.
Let me ask you a personal question.
Ooh, okay.
If you were given the choice and they say, okay, Jay, we can take you and everybody else on your insurance at work, and now work health insurance goes away and you're on Medicare for all with everybody else in the country, or would you rather have the option to stay on your work coverage and just the people who can't get coverage take the Medicare option?
Yeah.
Which appeals to you more personally?
Well, naturally, the latter, because I'm used to what I get. You know, that's how it goes. I'm used to you.
And you get pretty decent coverage through your employer.
And then odds are switching to this other one will be worse. And that's going to cause riots.
Well, and that's what scares a lot of these candidates away from going full Medicare for all, is because people like you and me who are lucky enough to get coverage through their workplace like it and don't want this huge disruption. And so they're just trying to get the people covered who are don't like the current system.
Yeah. Hmm.
So that's an interesting thing to point out.
That is a good thing. That is a good thing. Oh, man, I don't know. I think I'm getting kind of tired.
Let's take a break.
All this, I need a break. Oh, yeah, there's that sweet music. Muzak is actually a genre, and I believe it is the type of music played in hotels. That's hearsay, but look it up. And we're back, everyone.
Ah, that sweet, sweet, dulcet break music.
Oh. Gotta have me some break music.
Okay, so we'll keep going through our clips here. Who do we have next?
Oh, yes. Here, let me switch it up. Let me turn off Beto. And I believe the next up is Delaney. That guy. Okay, here.
Okay, and I'm looking up real quick. He's a attorney, a businessman, a politician. He's a representative for Maryland's 6th congressional district, but he's now out of a job and running for president.
I see. Well, here's what he had to say.
I think we should be the party that keeps what's working and fixes what's broken. I mean, doesn't that make sense? I mean, we should give everyone in this country health care as a basic human right for free, full stop. But we should also give them the option to buy private insurance. Why do we have to stand for taking away something from people? And also, it's bad policy. If you go to every hospital in this country and you ask them one question, which is, how would it have been for you last year if every one of your bills were paid at the Medicare rate? Every single hospital administrator said they would close. And the Medicare for All bill requires payments to stay at current Medicare rates. So to some extent, we're basically supporting a bill that will have every hospital close. I mean, my dad was a union electrician, right? I actually grew up in a working class family. He loved the health care that the IBEW gave him. And I just always think about my dad and anything I would do from a policy perspective. He'd look at me and he'd say, good job, John, for getting health care for every American. Why are you taking my health care?
I've let this play out a little bit because I'm fascinated to hear the daylight between you.
That's kind of what we talked about right before the break. Keep what's working, fix what's broken.
Yeah.
That's great that you're covering people, but why are you taking my workplace coverage away?
Sorry, for those listening on the podcast, I've been switching hats every clip. So here's my impression of this guy. He comes off way too much as a politician. He played that dad card and the sob story pretty hard. And he also is a pleaser, the way he phrased it. Why do we have to get rid of this? Let's have both. Everybody can be happy. Listen to me. Just follow me. Vote for me. Everybody's happy with me. I don't know. I have a little bit of a raised eyebrow with this fella.
Yeah, can I tell you what would happen if the government offered free coverage for anyone that wanted it, but then also tried to keep the private system in place?
Yeah, what would happen?
Every reasonable business trying to save a buck would drop their private coverage and say, hey, go get your free coverage from the government.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not really an option to provide free coverage for everyone, but then also expect people to pay for private insurance. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, that's a good point. So potential catastrophe with that guy. Should we move on?
Well, he did make a good point about hospitals, and this is something you brought up earlier. The Medicare reimbursement rate for hospitals, like how much Medicare pays hospitals right now, if all they got was payment at Medicare level, they would not make enough to break even at their current operating rates.
So you're saying if, like, I, who am not on Medicare, goes in and the Medicare... I get charged a Medicare rate and not the normal person rate or not, you know, the working Joe rate, they wouldn't go out of business. Well, I think, I don't think that's a shocker. Like Medicare,
the reason it costs less is because they're paying doctors less.
Oh.
So if you're paying doctors less, then they're going to have to figure out where to cut costs. Maybe they cut hospital staff, maybe some hospitals close. But if you squeeze that part of the balloon, something else has got to give.
I love that analogy. Something's got to give. Pop. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's also bleak. Next.
Oh, boy. Next clip.
All right. We're turning off Delaney. And I believe it's Gabbard?
Tulsi Gabbard. She's a representative for Hawaii's 2nd Congressional District.
Oh, a Hawaiian. Oh, and she's the service lady. Like, she was in the military.
Yes, she served in the military, and she makes that part of her story quite a bit through this debate.
Let's hear what she has to say.
Someone, Gabbard, why are you way in here?
I think we're talking about this in the wrong way. You're talking about one bill over another bill. Really, what we're talking about is our objective, making sure that every single sick American in this country is able to get the health care that they need. I believe Medicare for All is the way to do that. I also think that employers will recognize how much money will be saved by supporting a Medicare for All program, a program that will reduce the administrative costs, reduce the bureaucratic costs, and make sure that everyone gets that quality health care that they need. I also think if you look at other countries in the world who have universal health care, every one of them has some form of a role of private insurance. So I think that's what we've got to look at, taking the best of these ideas, but making sure unequivocally that no sick American goes without getting the care that they need, regardless of how much or little money they have in their pocket.
Congresswoman, let me turn to Senator Booker.
Thoughts?
Okay, so I feel that she has done her research, and I liked her point about employers. And if right now it's like we need to avoid the Medicare for all like a plague, because it's going to be worse coverage. But if we can get it to that coverage.
Why do you think it's going to be worse coverage?
Well, and this is just you and I conversation, that if, and by coverage, I also mean like quality. Like, would you rather have your work insurance or government appointed insurance?
Right. Well, but Bernie Sanders' plan that he currently has a bill out says that there will be minimal deductibles, minimal copays out of pocket. That's actually a better plan than what we've got now, which is a high deductible.
I think, honestly, I think she makes some good points and also is entertaining the idea of single player plus. Let's call it that. Single player plus.
Single payer plus.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They're starting to sound kind of similar with different like twangs of emotion. Like think of the economic stimulus, or I was a guy in Texas and their incarceration is, you know, whatever. And so I think they're still kind of saying similar things.
Yeah. Medicare for all is great, but I think there's a role for private insurance too. We've heard that from a couple other people already.
Yep.
She mentioned what we just talked about, which was employer groups who are currently covering healthcare for their employees. If this is an option where their employees can get covered and they don't have to pay for it anymore, they save tons of money.
Well, the executives save a ton of money. I don't know if that means instant raises for everybody. I don't know.
Instant raises for everybody, but then that all goes to taxes to pay for it. So I don't know, man.
It's just creative accounting at that point.
Yeah, you're just, again, you're squeezing the balloon. It costs what it costs. Now you're just figuring out, okay, who's going to pay for it? Is it going to be taxpayers? Is it going to be employers? Is it all on the person themselves to pay for it? But that balloon still has the same amount of air in it. It's just who's bearing the brunt of it.
That's exactly right. Oh, man. This is exciting. I like this. We are moving on to Booker, who he's kind of my... I like him. He, and like in the character of electoral candidates, this guy just... I like, he's the funky, fun guy that, like, he talks straight. I like it. So
Senator from New Jersey.
Oh, he's from New Jersey. Okay, yeah. Cool. All right, here he goes.
Senator Booker, explain to me where you are. This is hugely important to people, so tell us where you are.
I absolutely will. First of all, we're talking about this as a healthcare issue, but in communities like mine, low-income communities like mine, this is an education issue because kids who don't have healthcare are not going to succeed in school. It is an issue for jobs and employment because people who do not have good healthcare do not succeed at work. It's even a retirement issue because in my community, African-Americans have a lower life expectancy because of poorer healthcare. And so where I stand is very clear. Healthcare is not just a human right, it should be an American right, and I believe the best way to get there is Medicare for all, but I have an urgency about this. When I am president of the United States, I'm not going to wait. We have to do the things immediately that are going to provide better care. And on this debate, I'm sorry. There are too many people profiteering off of the pain of people in America, from pharmaceutical companies to insurers. Literally, the overhead for insurers that they charge is 15%, while Medicare's overhead is only at 2%. We can do this better, and every single day I will be fighting to give people more access and more affordable costs until we get to my goal, which is every American having health care.
Time is up, Senator. I want to move back.
Okay.
Response.
So I like him. Like I said, I've always liked him. He brings up a really valid point.
Wait a minute. You've always liked him? He came on the TV and you were like, nope.
Well, he's not going to win. But I like this point. And every time he talks, I'm happy he did. He does not disappoint.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, so... And I don't think he's coming off as too much of a politician. Like, I feel he is who he is, and he believes what he believes. And he's actually very smart about it. He brings up a valid point. If we get everybody on the same coverage, he's making a case for the Band-Aid ripping off. Mm-hmm. But if we do, that increases quality of life, mental health. That increases, and with those can increase economic, I don't know, facets and spur our economy even further. That's a good point hasn't been brought up. So yeah. Now I'm back into maybe we should rip the Band-Aid off and just do a Medicare for all.
And he was the only other person besides Elizabeth Warren who raised his hand for... We're getting rid of private insurance. Let's do Medicare for all. When they asked that question at the beginning of the debate, he made a good point about the insurance companies have a 15% overhead and Medicare has roughly a 2% overhead. And those numbers are pretty true. It makes a good point.
Yeah,
maybe Medicare, the way it's operating, there are fewer overhead costs, more money is going towards actually paying for care, and it's less expensive because less money is going towards overhead.
So let me ask you this. So there's this 15% that's on Medicare, or on our current system,
mm-hmm.
and then we have the 2% on Medicare,
mm-hmm.
and the majority of the people in America, I'm guessing, are on the 15%.
Yeah.
If that 15 magically becomes 2, the savings are bajillions of dollars, let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
Is that bajillions of dollars of savings worth it? And where does it go? And who, the coverage in theory should be the exact same.
Right.
So, I don't know. That's something else I need to think about. I'll be up late just staring at the ceiling.
Well, I'll tell you what some of that 15% overhead is for. It's for claims processing. It's for...
What is claims processing? I just imagine some lady in an office with a fax machine going, check, check. Is that her job? What is claims processing?
Well, it's mostly automated now, but...
Wait, I'm paying for automation?
But it's... insurance companies have these crazy complex systems that say, pay this claim this way, pay this claim this way. And doctors have to learn these systems and submit their claims electronically to the correct insurer. So maybe they take insurance from 5 different insurance companies. They have to learn a different system for all of them and do all the paperwork to make sure that they get paid from that particular insurer. That's a lot of overhead to do that.
Cerner, maybe.
Oh. Well, Cerner's a different type of thing.
Okay.
But they have salespeople. They have people that go out and negotiate with all the different doctors and hospitals.
Oh, on rates.
Each year to figure out how much they're going to pay each year. Those jobs go away if you go to Medicare.
Then who does those jobs?
The government sets the rate. Here's what we'll pay you. So they don't negotiate. They don't negotiate at all. They say, here's what we'll pay you. So all those jobs go away. There's a lot of jobs that are related to doing all of this discretionary stuff that doesn't happen in the Medicare system.
Yeah.
And those jobs go away if you go to a Medicare for all.
But again,
but you're cutting out the overhead.
Is it worth it just to keep people employed?
Right. And the other question is it worth ripping the Band-Aid off now, or do you do a public option and just see a migration of people over the next 10 or 20 years and eventually get to this place anyway?
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
It is a good thought experiment, at least. And people should think about this because it is interesting.
Well, yeah, if people are voting for someone on the Democratic side, if you're voting in the primary, you need to think about this. What do you want your health care to look like in the future? Are you willing to rip that Band-Aid off and take whatever comes? Or do you like the coverage you're on and you'd prefer a more gradual approach to it?
Exactly. All right. We have one last clip. We are done with this Booker fella. And on to... we're back to Elizabeth Warren. That's right. Here's what she has to say.
Congressman Gabbard.
And that is that the insurance companies last year alone sucked $23 billion in profits out of the healthcare system. $23 billion. And that doesn't count the money that was paid to executives, the money that was spent lobbying Washington. We have a giant industry that wants our healthcare system to stay the way it is. Because it's not working for families, but it sure as heck working for them.
Governor Inslee.
It's time for us to make families come first.
And that just fired me up. Like, she has a way of saying things, and not only do I listen, but I'm also just like, yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. They're not working for me. They're working for them.
She's a counterpart to Bernie Sanders. She's definitely good at explaining things and good at, like, let's flip the system cart over and set it on fire.
Band-Aid off kind of gal.
Band-Aid off kind of gal.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, this was a lot of fun, let me tell you. I like live streaming. I like the interaction of, we have, what, two viewers?
And this was interesting to talk about night one of the debates. The people that we didn't play clips for, either because they didn't talk about healthcare or they mentioned it, like, in addition to something else, and we didn't want to, like, open that bag of worms. Can of worms.
Yeah,
don't keep worms in bags. So Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York, Julian Castro from Texas, Ryan
yeah.
is from Ohio, and Jay Inslee, who's the governor of Washington.
That's right.
So they were all in this debate too. They marginally mentioned healthcare. Maybe we'll cover them later if they hang around.
Well, thanks for listening. If you want us to do this type of thing again, let us know. Contact us with this Facebook. Maybe just do Facebook. We love Facebook. Everything Facebook. Be sure to subscribe in your favorite podcast directory.
And we're thinking we'll probably do night two of the debates.
Yeah, if that's okay with you.
Sometime fairly soon. Yeah. So look out for that.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a great night. Hopefully the audio works.
And we'll see you next time.